Good morning, church family. The reading this morning will be from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. And the woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
I want you to imagine that you're at a synagogue, that it's a Sabbath day, and you're a good Jew, and so you have come to the synagogue to worship. You enjoy Sabbath day because you enjoy worshiping God. You enjoy all that happens at the synagogue. You enjoy the readings and the prayers and the teaching, and so you're real excited about being in the synagogue. But you're particularly excited today because there's a guest teacher who's going to be here. And that teacher is Jesus. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard a little bit about what he's done and what he's taught. And so you're really curious as to what he's going to teach here at the synagogue. You get there and there's a lot of people there. It's packed because everybody is interested in hearing what Jesus has to say. You find your place where you're going to sit, and up at the front is the synagogue leader. He's the one who's in charge of the synagogue. He's the one who calls everybody to order. He's the one who starts the service. He's the one who leads the community. And he's up at front, and he says, "Now it is time to begin." And the service begins in the synagogue, and you begin by saying a prayer together. And then there's one of the scripture readings that you share together. And then the synagogue ruler calls forward this guest teacher, Jesus. And he comes to the front, and he begins to teach. He takes one of the scrolls, and he unwraps it. He reads from it, and then he begins to teach the community. And you're listening, and you're really intrigued with what he's saying. And while you're listening, out of the corner of your eye, you see a woman. She's walked in. She's late. And as she walks in, she's bent over. You've seen her before, so it doesn't really surprise you as much. You've wondered often, why is she so bent? Was it because her parents didn't care for her very well when she was a child? Is it because she's a low-wage worker and the job she has puts a lot of strain on her back? Does she have some kind of disease that's probably because of some bad choices that she made? And so this is the consequence for those bad choices. She's got a bent back. You've thought that before. But you don't spend much time thinking about her because, well, she's an outsider of the community. She's unclean. She's disabled. And besides, she's late. And why would you come late on a special day like this? And so you just train your mind to get back to Jesus, and I'm going to listen to what Jesus has to say. But then while you're listening to Jesus, he notices the woman. And when his eyes sees her, you can just tell that there was something with his eyes that caused him to have compassion on her. calls the woman up to the front, which surprises you. I mean, she's an unclean, disabled woman who's an outsider of our community. You're going to call her up to the front of the synagogue? But he does. He calls her up to the front. And he says to her, "Woman, you're set free from your infirmity." And then he takes his hands and he touches her, even though she's unclean. And immediately that bent back is straightened up, and she stands tall, and she looks straight, and she begins praising God. And you watch this. And on one hand, you're thankful that this woman is now doing better and that she doesn't have this bent back anymore. But at another level, you're a little bit confused. Because you know the rules of the Sabbath day, and what Jesus just did does not fit in with the rules. When God created the Sabbath day, you know this, that He sanctified it and He made it holy, that it was to be a day of rest. And down through the centuries, the great rabbis, the great teachers, spent a lot of work delineating out what is rest and what is not. What defines work and what is not work. Kind of like the way our city and county governments have spent time delineating out what is essential business and what is non-essential business. Well, the rabbis did that too. And they had determined that there are some things that you can do on the Sabbath and there's some things that you can't. For example, you can carry enough milk that you can drink, but you can't carry a whole jug of milk. Or you can walk 3/5 of a mile, but you can't walk beyond that. That there were certain things you can do, and then there's certain things that you can't do. And one of the things that everybody understood that you can't do is you can't heal on the Sabbath day. If someone is sick, you can't try to help them get better. Now, if they're getting worse, you can attend to them so that they don't get worse. Or if there's some kind of emergency, some kind of accident, you can rescue someone from that. But if they're stable in their illness, then you're not supposed to go about doing the doctoring work of trying to help them get better on the Sabbath day. That's work. And you're supposed to rest. And yet that is precisely what Jesus does. And so you're noticing this, and you're thinking about all this, and you start to raise some questions. Why did Jesus do this? Has He forgotten all of the traditions of the rabbis? Does He just decide on His own that He's going to heal this woman? Couldn't He have done it on a different day? Why did He have to do it today and create some controversy? And right at the moment you're thinking about that, the synagogue leader steps forward to the rostrum, and he grabs a hold of it. And you've always appreciated this synagogue leader because he's a man of character. He's a good leader. He always tries to do the right thing. He knows the law, and he really wants to please God. And so you respect what he has to say. And the synagogue leader speaks. He says, 6 days we have for work. Do this healing on one of those days, not the Sabbath. And when he says that, you actually agree with him. That's right. This is a special day. And while I am thankful for this woman, we should adhere to the rules. And let's let healing and doctoring be for another day. But Jesus responds. And what he says actually catches you by surprise. Because the very first word that he says is, "You hypocrites." The word hypocrite means play actor. It means someone who is saying one thing but then is doing another. And while, yes, the synagogue leader has his warts and his faults, you wouldn't call him a hypocrite. He's just trying to follow the Lord. And yet that is precisely what Jesus says. "You hypocrites." And he goes on. He says, doesn't each of you untie your ox or your donkey and allow them to leave the stall in order to get water? And you start to think about that. Yeah, I guess that is true. The Sabbath did make provisions for your livestock because right now you're living in an agricultural society. And in an agricultural society, your livestock is your livelihood. You have to take care of your ox. You have to take care of your donkey because that's how you plow the fields and that's how you raise the crops. That's how you farm. And so those livestock, they need water every day. And so there was provision in the Sabbath rules that you could untie. You couldn't do a lot with your livestock, but one thing you do is you untie them from the stall and allow them to walk the path they need to go to get water. That made sense. Well, Jesus goes on. And he says, well, then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whose Satan has kept bound for 18 years, should she not be set free on the Sabbath day from what bounds her? And when Jesus makes that statement, it causes you to pause because there's several things in what he has said that has caught your attention. First of all, he referred to that woman as a daughter of Abraham. Really? That's a phrase of worth. That's a phrase of value. That's a phrase of respect and esteem. That woman, the disabled, crippled woman who was late to the synagogue service, that woman, she's a daughter of Abraham. And then he says that what is afflicting her is from Satan. That he ties her physical infirmity with a spiritual reality. He reminds us that anytime we're dealing with physical illnesses or physical problems, there's always a spiritual reality close behind. That anytime we're dealing with disease or illness, Satan is lurking in the background. And while we've been dealing with this coronavirus situation, we have to know, church, Satan is lurking in the background. The physical infirmities are always tied to a spiritual reality. And Jesus makes that point. But then the third thing that catches your attention is that he suggests that this woman should be untied from what has bound her on the Sabbath day. It's almost as if Jesus goes back to what the whole Sabbath day was all about, that it was to be a day of rest and release. Rest and release. That's what the Sabbath day is about, releasing your obligations, releasing your work, releasing the things that bind you. And so Jesus makes the point that maybe the best day of all to heal someone is the Sabbath day. Because this is a day where this woman can be set free. And as you think about all these things while you're sitting there in the synagogue, it hits you. You know why Jesus healed this woman. It's because Jesus believed that that woman, though crippled that she was, mattered more than the traditions and the rules of the Sabbath day. We care about rules, don't we? We have a lot of rules. We have rules for how to drive. We have rules for how to behave in a classroom. We have rules for how to handle ourselves in our job and in the workforce. Right now, we've got a lot of rules laid down to us by our governments about where we can go and what we can do and what businesses can be open and which ones can be closed. And rules, for the most part, are a good thing. They help us. They're given to us to help us to do what's right and to protect us in some way, and we're thankful for them. Also, we care a lot about structure and routine. Probably you have some sort of morning routine that every time you wake up, you do the same thing, get your cup of coffee and read your Bible and maybe go for a walk. Maybe you've got some daily routine or weekly routine that you have as a family, that on Monday nights we do this, or on Tuesday nights we do this, or Wednesday nights we have Bible class and so forth and so on. Maybe in your office or at your job, there's structure about who's in charge of this thing and who's in charge of that thing. And structure and routine, it's all very helpful to us because when we have structure, routine, we don't have to think as much. We don't have to figure out, okay, what am I going to do next? Or what decisions do I have to make upcoming? Because I've got a routine, I've got a structure, and it just guides me and it helps me know what to do. And rules and structure, routine, that had all been developed for the Sabbath day, that here are the rules that you're to follow, here's the structure that you're to have, here's the routine that you're supposed to have on the Sabbath day. But the one problem that can develop with rules, structure, and routine is that sometimes we can start focusing in on them and want to follow them just for the sake of following them. Obeying rules just for the sake of obeying rules, following our routine because, well, this is what we've always done. Or applying a certain structure because, well, that's just what we think others are doing and what we ought to do. And when we start following rules and structure and routine just for the sake of it, what happens is that sometimes those rules and structure and routine can get divorced from the very heart of God. And that's what Jesus was bringing up. You're following the rules. You're applying the structure. You're doing the routine. But is that consistent with the heart of God? Are your rules consistent with what God cares about? Is your routine what is needed when you compare it with the will of God? Because sometimes we have to look at our rules and our structure and our routine through the lens of what does God care about? And what God cares about is He cares about people. God cares about people. That's what He cares about. That's what His heart beats for, is for people. That's where the mercy and love of God wells up. It's in regards of people. That's what He wants. That's what He cares about. That's what matters to Him. And if you've ever wondered that, you just flip over a couple of chapters in the Gospel of Luke to Luke 15, where Jesus tells three parables in succession. The first parable is of a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of those wanders off. And it says that the shepherd goes after that lost sheep, leaves the 99, searches for that sheep. When he finds it, picks it up, and takes it back to the flock rejoicing. In the very end of the parable, Jesus makes this statement. He says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. That Jesus was making the point that people matter to God. They matter so much that if one wanders away, the shepherd goes off and he finds that person because that person matters to him. Jesus could have waited to heal that woman on the next day, which would have been Sunday. He could have done that. In fact, actually, if you had interviewed that bent, crippled woman and said, listen, I just want to tell you something right now. Jesus is going to heal you and you're going to be able to stand straight and everything's going to be fine. Do you mind just waiting one day to be healed? I'm sure that woman would have said, that is perfectly fine with me. But Jesus didn't do that. Why? Two reasons. Number one, because it just wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that the ox and the donkey are cared for on the Sabbath day and a human being is not. It just wasn't right. But there was a second reason. And it's the second reason that I really want you to focus on. And that is this. To Jesus, days matter. Days matter. That here was a woman that for 18 years she had been bound by this infirmity, which means that for over 6,000 days She had been bound by this bent back condition. And Jesus believed that she didn't deserve another day to be in that condition. And the reason why she didn't deserve another day is because she mattered. She mattered to Jesus. That she was not simply an outsider or an outcast. She was someone made in the image of God, and she mattered. And so if Jesus had to break a rule, if he had to step over a tradition, if he had to lay beside a certain protocol, Jesus was going to do that because she mattered. She mattered. The compassion and love of Jesus trumped the rules, the tradition, and the routine of the Sabbath day. And here we see the upside down picture of the kingdom of God. In the Gospel of Luke, what is up is actually down, and what is down is actually up. It says in Luke that if you want to lose your life, or if you want to save your life, you actually have to lose it. And if you lose your life, you'll actually save it. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that those who are rich will actually become poor, and those who are poor will actually become rich. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that the first will be last, and the last will be first. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that those that are exalted will be humbled, and those who are humbled will be exalted. And here we see that same upside-down kingdom in this story, where the synagogue ruler is called the hypocrite, and where this crippled, disabled woman is called a daughter of Abraham. Because in the eyes of Jesus, she mattered. And all of you that are watching and listening, in your life, there are people. In your life, there are family members, a spouse, children, parents, siblings, aunts and uncles, cousins, grandchildren. There's your church family, brothers and sisters in Christ who are worshiping with you right now. There's coworkers, friends, classmates. There are neighbors, people who live next door or across the street whose kids play with your kids. There's bystanders, people that you see as you walk around the block, or people who check you out at the grocery store or at the pharmacy. There are people everywhere, people in all of your life. In the eyes of Jesus, all of those people matter a whole lot. They matter a whole lot. And it's so easy for us to justify reasons why we should not give our attention or our love or our mercy to the people around us. We can say things like, well, I'm really busy today, or I've got my routine and I need to stick to my routine. I've got my structure. I need to stay in line with my structure. There are certain rules, certain traditions. And I understand that there are times where we have to set boundaries and we have to say no. And I understand sometimes the actual merciful thing is saying no to someone. And yes, I understand that right now we're in a strange age and we need to apply social distancing and all those sorts of things. And that actually is a way of loving someone. I get it. But at the same time, there are people in your life who matter to God. And sometimes we have to step away from our rules, structure, and routine to show that that person, that family member, that friend, that neighbor, that church member, that they matter. And I want to show them the love of God and the mercy of God so they can feel the same freedom that we find in Christ. I want to challenge us as a church that as we go throughout this strange time, that This is an opportunity for us to show the world that people matter. They matter. They matter to God. And may the Lord help us to let His love and His mercy flow through us to trump whatever routine, structure, rules, or traditions or protocols that we're used to and that are, normally fill our lives. Help us to be willing to feed the hungry. Help us to be willing to be interrupted. Help us to be willing to pray for those that we're concerned about. Help us to be willing to make that call or to send that text to show the people around us, you matter. You matter to God. And I'm going to take time to show that to you. One of the feel-good stories that's come out of the past couple weeks was about a pregnant lady who went to the grocery store to buy toilet paper. And when she got to the toilet paper aisle, it was probably very similar to what you've seen. It was completely bare. And while she was in the toilet paper aisle, her water broke, which meant that she was beginning the process of laboring and delivering. And she knew from previous pregnancies that whenever her water broke, that the baby was going to come very, very quickly. And here she is in the most barren aisle in the whole grocery store. What to do? So she cries out for help, and just so happens there was a nurse nearby. Aren't we thankful for our nurses? A nurse came and began to attend to her. They called 911, fire department came, and when the paramedic arrived, the baby was coming. And here on the aisle, where there is nothing on the shelves, a baby was born. And as they wheeled the mother and the baby out, all of the shoppers were standing by, watching what was going on, probably at a safe distance of 6 feet apart. And as the mother and baby came through, they all applauded. Because that mother and that baby, they mattered. They mattered. They mattered to God, and they matter to us. And for those that are watching, I want you to know that whatever you're going through and whatever struggles you're dealing with, and even if last week has been a bad week and you feel isolated and all alone, I want you to know this. You matter to God. You were created in the image of God. And He knows you, and He cares for you. And I want you to also know this, that the people in your life, they matter to God as well. And so don't be afraid this week to take that extra time, to step out of your routine, structure, rules, and tradition, to show those around you the love and mercy of God, the same way Jesus did to that woman in the synagogue, to show the people around us that you matter. You matter to God. And maybe you're struggling and you need someone to reach out. Maybe you need someone to pray with you and encourage you. Even though we can't really have our normal invitation, there is a way that you can share that need. In fact, if you just hop over to our website, just click over there, sscfc.org/prayer. You can type in a prayer request that you have that'll be sent to the ministers and to the elders. We will pray for you. Or maybe you've been thinking about being baptized. Maybe you've been thinking about giving your life to Jesus. And let me just tell you right now, the coronavirus is not going to stop us from baptizing people. And so if you're interested and being baptized, you can do the same thing. Go over to this website. Let us know that you're thinking about this. We'll reach back out to you. If there's any way that we can help you so that you can know that you matter to God and you matter to us, we want you to do that so we can reach out to you. Let's sing this song together as we close.